So today we're at the end of Paul's second letter to the Thessalonian church. And as I've said in previous weeks, the Thessalonian church was a new church, but right from the jump, they had a lot of persecution. So this is a church with a lot of outside pressure. One of the things we learn, particularly in the second letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, was they also had inside pressure. So there was some lazy people in the church, didn't want to work. There were some sort of rebellious, contentious people. There's some people who were really worried, who basically got in their mind that maybe Jesus had already come back, and so they're really worried and anxious about that. So outside pressure, inside pressure, over the course of the two letters that Paul writes, I mean, he's given a lot of instruction in addressing these issues. He's giving encouragement. In some cases, he's giving some very strong exhortation and admonishment. But he wraps it all up at the end of this letter, the second letter he writes, with something that I think is sort of a benediction in prayer. We've been going through benedictions. And this one, I think, is especially appropriate for not just the Thessalonian church, but any people who are feeling pressure. Pressure from the outside, pressure from within. In his prayer, very specifically, his blessing, the benediction that we have here is a prayer, a benediction for peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. So today we get to talk about peace. That's a pretty good thing, I think, for us to be talking about. We're going to look, first of all, at how we get peace, and then we want to talk about what this peace is that we get. So how do we get peace? The answer is the Lord God gives it to us. The Lord God gives it to us. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Now that tells you, like, the peace in the Bible isn't something you got to work for. It's not something you got to sort of figure out on your own. It's not something you got to hopefully discover, you stumble on. Peace, and let's also just say, we're talking like top shelf peace. High quality peace, like peace that will last, that's secure and stable, a peace that's applicable in every situation. It's a peace, it says there, that can work at all times in every way. That kind of peace. Here's the amazing thing. It's a gift. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to wonder, is it possible? It's available already. It's a gift. The best type of peace, a peace applicable in every way that lasts, it's a gift. It's a gift from God himself. God gives it to us. God gives it to us because, as it says there, he is the Lord of peace. It's an important description here, right? It's not just God gives us peace. It's him being the Lord of peace, him himself knowing peace that allows us then to receive the peace that he gives us. How is God able to be the Lord of peace? Well, think about God. I mean, if you think about it, God's someone who's never been worried and stressed. I mean, God has never been anxious. He's never been uncertain or indecisive. God has never been pressured or threatened. No, what is God? God is a being who's always been calm and secure. Think about that. God has always been stable because he's always been at peace. Why is God always at peace no matter what he does? Because of who God is. God's will is always done. God's never wondering, like, well, man, I hope this works out. His will is always accomplished. God, a lot of people use this word omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. So he knows all that's going to happen, but he's also omnipotent, which means he's able to accomplish all things. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to make sure that what happens is what he wants to have happen. He is at peace. He acts in peace, and in his very being, he's peace. The Bible teaches that there's one God and three persons. He's triune. And so within himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's complete harmony. There's complete peace. He's always perfectly aligned within himself. That's why we can talk about him being the Lord of peace. It's why when we talk about peace, at least if you want the best version of peace, the best kind of peace available in the cosmos, like here's where we want to go to. We want to look to God. There's a lot of offers for peace in our world. There's a lot of talk about peace right now, and a lot of people trying to bring peace, fighting for peace, for more peace in their families, in their schools, in their neighborhoods, and we should be thankful for it. That's not, I mean, God, I believe in something that's called common grace. So God works. God's not limited in how he works. He's able to work in people who don't even listen to him. He's able to work and bring about what he wants. And so God's working all sorts of different ways and in all the different things that are happening that are legitimately bringing about peace. We should trust that God is working. However, the thing that we as Christians uniquely bring to the table is the knowledge that we should have ourselves and the knowledge we should share with other people is that the peace that all peoples are working towards is an echo of this greater peace, of this better peace. And all the smallest expressions of peace are meant to help us see how they flow from the Lord of peace, help us connect to the peace that exists uniquely within God, that is God. And it's a peace, it's like a reservoir of peace that we can draw from in all our efforts to fight for peace. That's a peace, amazingly, again, is a gift. You just have to ask for it. How do we get peace? We get it from God. So let's all think about that next part that I talked about. We get peace from God, but what is this peace that we get from God? How can we describe it? Well, we should first say, just in general, that peace, biblically speaking, is not just, we're not just talking about non-conflict. It's more than that. The Jewish people have this important concept called shalom, right? And shalom is more holistic. It talks about the sense of harmony, the sense of wholeness in yourself, a state of well-being. Well-being that applies in lots of different ways. And those are some of the things I want to sort of elaborate. So if peace, what we're really talking about, the kind of peace that God wants to give us is shalom, sense of well-being and stability and wholeness. What are the different ways in which we are meant to experience this wholeness, this well-being, this stability? Four different ways I'd like to point out. The first and most important place we are meant to have shalom, wholeness, well-being, is with God. So that's the first point, peace with God. Peace with God. This is the most important peace for us to have. See, human beings are in conflict with God by virtue of the fact that we don't obey God and we don't care to obey God. It's a big reason that we actually don't have peace in our world. God calls us to obey him. Why? Because he's the Lord of peace. He's like, so listen, I know how to do this, so listen to me and I'll lead you in peace. Well, the human beings from the very beginning said, no, we're not going to listen. We disobey God. We sinned against him. And so our disobedience to God has brought chaos and conflict consistently in our history. And that chaos and conflict spreads in all sorts of different directions, and eventually it brings judgment from God. But God, the Lord of peace, is also a God of grace and love. What the Bible tells us is that God, rather than leaving us to our own devices, letting us experience his full judgment, God has provided a way for us to get out of our mess. God sends Jesus, who through his death and resurrection secures peace first and fundamentally between us and God, the first one who we violated. God acted himself. Jesus is God acting to bring us back in relationship with him so that we're no longer enemies of God, but as it says in Romans 5:1, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's amazing. Peace with God. So this is foundational. We can't really have the kind of peace we want out in the world if we don't see this as foundational, especially for us as Christians. If this isn't what drives us and what motivates us, this is extremely important because let me sort of give a big example that we're in right now. Many of us, we're out there, we're engaging in all sorts of different ways, interacting with people. I know many of you have been involved in different rallies and protests, being a prayerful presence in the midst of all that's going on. And one of the things that happens that people will say in the midst of rallies and protests is no justice, no peace. And that's important. And there's a sense that there's no justice, no peace. That's what we're fighting for. But here's, again, as Christians, one of the things what we should make it known, is that as we want there to be justice and peace horizontally, we understand that it must be, it, if it's really going to have its longest term effect, if it's going to have its best expression, we always want to tie it to vertical, to the relationship between us and God. That as Christians, our understanding of the peace between us and God helps us then speak to the instances where there's no justice and no peace horizontally. Because when you have that as foundational, peace between us and God, it puts you in the right place to then act horizontally. Peace with us and God puts us in a position of humility, doesn't it? You realize, like, wow, like I'm an enemy of God, and God made peace with me. It puts us in a position of thankfulness that God would save us and secure peace with us. And think about how significant that is. If you, having experienced humility and thankfulness vertically, how helpful and significant that is as you then think horizontally. Think about how beneficial that is to all that's going on around us. That's why this has to be. Let's never forget this. Let's never dilute that. Let's never try to avoid that. We want peace with God foundationally to drive all the other types of peace that God wants in this world and we want to be part of. And so there's a big question. Do you have peace with God? That only happens by faith in Jesus, by believing in what God has done for us in and through Jesus. Like, this is the point in the sermon to just pause and ask that question and make sure you can say yes, that you've trusted in what God has done through Jesus, that you've understood the conflict you've brought between you and God through disobedience to him, and you begin to take that first step of faith, which is obeying him and believing in Jesus. So we have peace with God. That's one of the first ways we experience shalom. Secondly, we want to talk about how we experience shalom within ourselves. So second point is peace within yourself. Peace within yourself. What I'm talking about here is a kind of stability. You're not shaken by the things around you. You're able to live in the midst of them and not sort of fall deep into anxiety or worry. You're able to sort of always find a place of stability and security, a place of calm and confidence. You're able to have a heart that rests in joy and thanksgiving and is able to remain in joy and thanksgiving because you have a heart and mind that's guarded in peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So peace within yourself, it becomes this guard that allows you then to have stability and joy and thanksgiving. I mean, think about how good that is. I mean, this is a good one, isn't it? I mean, life right now feels overwhelming, in many ways is overwhelming, and there's nothing any of us can do to immediately make a change. Like we can't. You can change news channels, you can look at something else, but it's still there, right? So a lot of people, of course, right now are trying to make change happen in all sorts of different ways. People are advocating different health procedures. We have medical personnel caring for the sick. We have people advocating for reform in the justice system. I hope those go well. I want to be part of helping those go well. But one of the things I know I need to have as I navigate those things, and one of the things that God gives us as we navigate those things, is a peace within yourself. A peace that allows you to be stable and secure, joyful and thankful, even if those things don't immediately work out, even if those things will take a long time to work out. See, this peace that we're talking about, I think the reason we can have it is because it comes out of beginning to see things the way God does. To be able to see God's perspective. As you begin to see God's perspective and what he's doing, see God's hand, it gives you trust. Trust leads to joy and to hope and to thanksgiving. It frames everything for you, right? Being able to frame everything around you, be able to see the lens through the lens that God has of this world, begins to then stabilize you in peace. And there's amazing examples of this in the Bible. So, for example, the story of Joseph. We read about it in Genesis. This is a guy who got betrayed by his brothers, his blood brothers, sold into slavery, then is imprisoned for a number of years for a crime he does not commit. So later on, he runs into his brothers, and here's what he says to them. He says, look, you meant evil for me, but God meant it for good. What's going on there? He somehow realized God's, he saw God working in around him, and guess what? That gave him peace. Rather than like destroying his brothers, he's able to be at peace with them because he had God's perspective. Think of the story of Elisha in 2 Kings. Elisha's in the city of Dothan, and the story says that he's surrounded by an army that wants to capture him. And his servant's like, what are we going to do? But Elisha looks out, and he sees God's army surrounding that army. And so Elisha's response is one of peace. He's not worried. How is he not worried? He sees what God is doing, doesn't he? And that allows him to have peace within himself. Paul and Silas, we can read about in Acts, they're grabbed by the authorities while they're in the city called Philippi. They're stripped, severely flogged and beaten, thrown in a dark jail. Yet that night, at midnight, we're told, as they're in prison, they're singing and praying. They're singing hymns and praying. How's that possible? Paul and Silas were able to see God even in the midst of their circumstances. They knew they were there to eventually talk about Jesus to a jailer so that a jailer would know Jesus and his family would know Jesus. And so they could be at peace. They could even sing and pray even as the things are happening around them. I want you to notice in all those examples, we're not talking about people who are like disengaged and isolated. There's certainly philosophies, even religions of this world that say the way you have peace is by sort of disassociating yourself from everything. You got to numb yourself to everything, right? Sort of detach. There's some people who do, and maybe you don't follow those different sort of religions and philosophies, but some people, they think the best way for me to have peace is by, you just do other things. You might use drugs, you might use TV, you might use social media to detach, to numb yourself, to sort of just help you just play video games, whatever it is, different ways to sort of just and that's peace for you. And I'm going to tell you, that's not really peace. That's not what we're talking about here. I think what's interesting is in those biblical examples, you have people who are fully engaged, right? They've not detached. They're living life, and they're experiencing all the troubles of life, and yet they're able to live it with strength, with composure, with joy, with thankfulness. They're able to live it with peace. With peace. Because, again, as I said, I think one of the ways that we really understand how we can have peace within us is if we begin to see the world the way God sees it. And the way God sees it is God sees himself acting in the world. We begin to see all the ways God is acting. And by say God, I say the fullness of who God is. God is grace and he's love. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. When you begin to see that this is the God who is active in this world, peace becomes sort of this wall around your heart. So that no matter what's going on, you can trust God. You know that this God is not asleep on the job. You see what he's doing now, you see what he's going to do, and allows you to be at peace, even as you wait for things to change in the world, even as you fight to bring change in the world. So the thing I'd ask you is maybe, even right now, what's preventing you from seeing the world this way? Because if you can't see the world this way, I think it's hard to have peace within yourself. What are the things that are coming in the way of that? Maybe you're a graduate, it's the uncertain job market. Maybe it's family problems. Maybe it's watching the news. Whatever it is, God wants to give you peace, and he invites you to have it as you begin to see what he sees, to see how he is working, to see all the different things he is doing so that in yourself you can have a heart guarded by peace. You know, if you've ever seen someone sort of handcraft a quilt, those people who are sort of handcrafting quilts, sort of on one side, it looks like a sort of a tangled mess. There's all this yarn, all these things everywhere. But if you flip it to the other side, it's a beautiful pattern, isn't it? And so while we're in this world, we tend to look at the side that looks like a tangled mess. And the perspective that we can have as Christians is to know that what seems a tangled mess is actually being made into a beautiful pattern, into God's pattern. A pattern he's weaving in and through your life, a pattern that's meant to help you have peace. Let me mention lastly in this sort of this particular point is this isn't, again, a statement that says that you'll never have struggles. And here I want to talk to those of you who, like, you hear that, but you struggle. You struggle a lot with anxiety, maybe you have mental health issues, you had depression, you have self-doubt that's been there since you've been young maybe, and you've been to doctors and counselors. Keep going to those doctors. Keep going to those counselors. What I want to offer here is a kind of trust in God, a peaceful trust in God that you can have even as you fight for your mental health, even as you fight for your stability. This is a promise even for you, that even in that struggle and that heartache, even as you're seeking help from people who can help you, that God, at the very least, can begin to lodge certain things in your heart and mind that says, look, I'm still your God, gracious, loving, powerful, knowing, even in your struggle. And what does the Psalm 23 said? Even as I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you're with me. Your rock, your staff, they guide me, they protect me. That even in the valley of the shadows, wherever that shadow is for you, however that's expressed, we can have peace because God does not abandon his children. He reminds us that he's there even in those places. Let's wrap up here. Number three, peace with ourselves, peace with others. So peace with God, peace within ourselves, peace with others. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. The peace of God allows us to unite with other people. And this especially applies to the church. The church, more than any place, should be known. The church at its best, at its healthiest, right? This best expression of church should be a place known for relationships of peace. We have peace within our church because we're able to have relationships that are brought about, that come out of love and commitment to one another. We have love and commitment to God, and then we have love and commitment to one another. That when those things get disruptive, we can still have peace because we have the ability to forgive and reconcile with one another. And all this has, I would say, its most powerful expression in the ways in which church uniquely shows peace across ethnic and social groups. So Ephesians 2 talks about how Jew and Gentile back in the first century, here's the two big sort of, in Palestine, the two big sort of ethnic social groups in that area, in that part of the world, first century Palestine. A lot of tension and suspicions between those two groups. And Ephesians says something kind of astounding. It talks about how these groups, with huge amount of tensions and conflict, can be formed into one humanity, one new people in the church. And Paul writes this, and in doing this, God creates this new humanity, and he makes peace, reconciling us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So that's in reality, that we can have peace with one another that can be especially expressed within the church. How important for us, particularly Roosevelt as a diverse church, for us to maintain that and to lift that up in the midst of this moment. And I mean, what Gabe said, this is a moment for churches like ours to say, look, we had to work hard at it, 15 plus years and counting, right? In the midst of a divided nation, in a divided church, here's the kind of peace God can really bring about. It's hard work. You've got to get in the walls, you've got to get in the structures and the relationships and all these different things. But God not only just helps us have it, but actually flourish in it. For those who feel marginalized and in the outside, here's community that really brings those who are in the margins to the center. How important it is for us, even more so, to press into these things. Lastly, peace with the world around you. That's the other way in which we want to experience peace. Shalom, peace with the world around us. When you have peace with God, the Bible says we're placed in the righteousness of Christ. And as we're placed in that righteousness, he also is then making our lives righteous. We've talked about this in previous weeks, right? And so as God's doing that among his people, making us righteous, guess what? That's the stage by which then righteousness is meant to happen everywhere. So ultimately, the peace of God is a peace where there's a world without conflict, where there's a world instead that's marked, that's full of righteousness and justice and equality. Peace in this world. The Lord of peace is bringing it, intends to bring it. So the Lord gives us peace. He gives us peace with himself. He gives us peace within ourselves. He gives us peace with others. And ultimately, he gives us peace within the world. The thing I want to say as we sort of finish here is to understand that this is a peace that's secure and doesn't budge, that we can count on this peace because it's the Lord God himself who's going to secure it. The thing that we're talking about here, when we say God gives us peace, it's not like God, like, here, take this peace and good luck with it. Here's the instructions. I hope it works out well for you. And he jets out. I want you to notice this verse, how it talks about the peace God is giving us. The Lord of peace gives us peace. The Lord of peace himself gives us peace at all times in every way. But then he secures this peace by staying with us. The Lord be with you all, is what verse 17 says. He gives us peace, but then it says, the Lord be with you all. Peace is possible because the one who is peace stays with us. The source of peace is actually living in our lives. That faith in Jesus means God comes into our lives in the person of the Spirit, so we can speak of God being actually with us. And so there's peace, isn't it? There's the security and the guarantee that we can have peace, which means then the peace that we want, one of the best things we can do to make sure we have peace and live in peace and grow in peace is to have strong and healthy relationship with God. How can you be a person of peace? How can you promote peace in the best ways, in the wise ways? There's one sort of main application point in this is to say, like, be spiritually healthy. Like, take that seriously. Begin to realize, like, that's one of the best things you can do, to make sure that your relationship with God is legit. That you know God and Jesus, that you love God and Jesus, that you're prayed up, that you're in community, that you know his purposes, that you allow his Spirit to reshape how you think about things and how you talk about things, that everything flows out of the relationship you have with the God who is peace within you. And it leads to all the things that we've talked about, the different ways we want to think and act and be. The Lord is with us. He's with you, and he's with me now. And here's the thing. The Bible says that's only going to get better. The Bible talks about a future where God is with us, and we are with God forever. And the expression of that throughout the universe is no tears, no suffering, no death, no sin. The only thing that's there is the light of God's presence and us enjoying his presence and living forever in joy and thankfulness and peace. The trajectory of peace then is always up. At least the peace that the Bible talks about. I mean, praise God. Praise God that we know that the end of the story is truly peace. So knowing that future, let's let that begin to help us today in what we fight for and what we stand for and what we talk about and what we experience in our lives and what we call other people to. The Lord is with us. It can be well with our soul because he is our peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord God, that you always have the right words for the right moments. I thank you, Lord God, that scripture is an infinite well. And I thank you for how so often the timing is exactly right for us to hear what we need to hear. And so, Lord, I pray for myself, the things I want to be about, and the ways I want to lead, that I would lead in the right ways, Lord God, that I would be at peace with you and speak of peace with you, even as I speak in peace within myself and with others within our world, Lord God. We want that to be foundational. As we speak of peace with you, Lord God, I pray that those who are watching, who are participating in any particular way in our time this morning would take seriously what it is that God is with them. And may that maybe stop them from doing certain things that they would do. May guide them to do other things, Lord. May your presence in our lives be especially rich and thick and full. We need to hear a voice like never before. So, Lord, forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from unrighteousness so we might hear you, have hearts guarded by peace, Lord, and be the people of God like never before. Lord, you can do it in even the smallest ways. And so, Lord, guide us in these ways. Direct us in these ways. And thank you that you're already working. May, Lord, we be faithful to all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.